Hello and welcome to Follow Me and Die. I'm your host, Larry Hamilton, and today on episode 57, Saturday Scrawl number 8. After our call-ins, I'll be talking about video games. Our callers are Spike Pit, otherwise known as Colin Green, followed by Arfed, otherwise known as Darren Green, Colin's brother, and then two calls from Ivy, known as the Happy Whisk.
Hi Larry, Colin, Spike Pit. You, sir, are a gentleman, Mr. Larry Hamilton. Thanks for your kind words. You kind of got me in the feels with your calling, and your episode calling out all the anchorites and speaking of your gratitude, etc. It's a really great episode, mate. I thought you did a wonderful job, and props to you for that. Look forward to all your creations in the future.
Hi Larry, Arfed here. Was honoured to be in your list of anchorites there, even though I haven't got a podcast. So very honoured to be at least mentioned in all those other great podcasts that you had there. A couple there that I wasn't listening to, so made a note, and we'll probably add those to my list of ever-growing podcasts that I listen to on a regular basis. I think you're doing a great job, so keep up the good work. With regards to my brother's podcast, looking to get in and do at least one episode with him, so I may be getting on board at least on a temporary basis, so looking forward to that. But keep up the good work. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Hey Larry, it's Ivy the Happy Whisk. I agree as far as having, sometimes you have a good idea and you just gotta run with it. Not save it, not hide it, not hoard it, just run with it and have fun. That works. Great podcast. You sound very good on the podcast. You have a good voice for it, and I hope you have a very yummy weekend. Over and out.
Colin, thank you for your comment. I will say that my son's got a chuckle out of you calling me a gentleman. Now keep doing what you're doing, and I look forward to your next episode and whatever other creative endeavors you care to share with us. And Darren, calling into podcasts is a valuable thing because it gives us something to think about and gives us potential topics for other episodes. And I'm curious to hear any collaboration you have with Colin. And I can understand if doing your own podcast isn't for you, but if you ever decide to do one, I'll be sure and listen. Ivy, I'm glad to tell others about your podcast. You're a riot. I get a chuckle from your escapades. The world needs more of that. So thank you to all our callers. If you'd like to call in and share your thoughts about this episode or a past episode, please do so. You can also contact me with email or on one of my other social media outlets. I'm a gamer, and I like all kinds of games, and I haven't talked much, if at all, about video games here on the podcast. I believe I've delved into mention of different board games, and I've had call-ins to other podcasts talking about board games and a bit about video games, and then I've mentioned my nebulous card game I'm working on. And I wanted something different to talk about today. I want to talk about my background and experience with video games. Now, I tend to be older than a lot of the other podcasters out there. There's one notable exception, but we don't need to go into that. Basically, I got started back in the late 70s. The only restaurant in the small town where I grew up got the arcade version of Pong. It had the simple three controls, a button to start when you put your quarter in, and then each player had a knob to move the image for the paddle back and forth, and the ball would bounce between them. And if it got past your paddle, your opponent got a point. And my brothers and I were begging for quarters from my parents. That was the coolest thing ever. It was so much better than pinball, because pinball requires a lot of skill. I never was very good at that. And then, I don't remember the exact order, but sometime after that, a local convenience store had Space Invaders, then Asteroids, and then there was Pac-Man. I never did like Pac-Man or Ms. Pac-Man. Something about that just didn't appeal to me. My friends loved it. I know lots of people really love Pac-Man, but for some reason, those just didn't appeal to me. And then the Atari game console came out, and some friends, several different friends and their families had that for Christmas, and we played Pong just like we had at the arcade version. There was a tank battle where if the tank got shot, it would just spin around. There were several others. I don't recall those. I just recalled we played a lot of Pong and a lot of tank battle, and we never had a game console when at that time frame. But I did put a lot of quarters into all kinds of video games. There used to be an annual carnival that would come to town for the town's founding celebration, and the carnival would put up a tent with all kinds of video games in there, and there were the usual Space Invaders, etc., but the one that really caught my attention was one called Battle Zone, and there was wireframe tanks, and you were inside the tank, and the terrain was wireframe with mountains off in the distance, and you were had a little radar thing, so you knew which way to turn, and the shots would be these little wireframe shots coming at you, and if you got hit, you got blown up. And I played hours and hours of that. Lots of lawnmower money went into those quarters. There was a local place with a video arcade in addition to bowling, lots of pool tables, pinball machines, and we'd get our parents. I don't remember if our parents would drop us off there if we were actually old enough that we were driving. But we'd go to that, and there was that's when two-player games started to come into the fore. And there was that one, oh, I always forget the name of it. It used the laser disc, and it had the animation with the knight going after the princess. We did a lot of that. Oh, Joust was another one. There's just all kinds of them. One of the movie theaters we went to had a couple of video games. One of them was Galaga, lots of Galaxians. And then the closest mall had an Aladdin's Castle. And I was talking about this topic of video games somewhere else online. Maybe it was a call into another podcast. Anyway, people didn't realize that Aladdin's Castle was a chain, because I discovered that as part of that. And evidently it was like a nationwide chain. But then in time, the ubiquity of home computers and home game consoles ended the prevalence of video games, and arcades faded away. And for a while after the big arcades faded away, you'd still find an occasional arcade game in places, but it's been well over 15 years since I've seen a video game just in a store. There may still be some out there, but they're not where I frequent. We got our first computer when I was in high school. I was either a junior or a senior, and that's when there were lots of different architectures still struggling for winning the home market, and I don't think Apple or IBM had totally dominated the market yet, and there were lots of things to choose from, and my dad bought a TI-99-4A by Texas Instruments, and it had all these different things you could add to it, and it was quite the thing when you got all the different things on it. But the main box had the keyboard, and then it had an area where you could slide in cartridges for the different programs, sort of like the games that you would for Atari and the other early game consoles. And we never had any good games. One I remember was Hunt the Wumpus, and I'm like, I got so bored with it, I never stuck with it. And I think there may be a couple other games, but they weren't very appealing to someone of high school age. Later, my dad had an IBM PC clone, and there were lots of text-based games that he had on that. And that was when I was in college and grad school. And somewhere I picked up a copy of Zill, which is kind of like Zork. And you go on your little adventure and try to find stuff. We basically grew up poor, and I didn't have my own video games until I was playing them on my computer as an adult. Somewhere along the line, I don't know where I got it, I picked up a game based on Traveller. And I still have it in the original box, and the box is still in really good shape. So the box is in really good shape. I just checked. I had forgotten this. It has 2 5-1/4-inch floppies. I forgot it was that old. My recollection was that it took 3.5-inch floppies. The last time I played it was about 25 years ago, because my son would have been 3 years old when my maternal grandfather died. I was at my parents' playing on my dad's computer. And so I don't even know if the program is still any good on those discs. I don't even have a 5.25 floppy drive anymore. I thought I did, but I accidentally got rid of my last one when I thought I had another one. So I've got several other large floppies. I have no idea if they're still any good. Anyway, as my sons got older, first we got a GameCube and had a lot of fun with some of the games on that. And then we got an Xbox. And I believe it was on the Xbox that we had this World War II game. I forget which one, but it was set in Europe and it was the US versus Germany, and it had a multiplayer mode, and I'd play with my two sons, and my youngest really liked what he called the snifle rifle, meaning a sniper. He was really good at getting headshots, but we think he was basically a screen looker. You're supposed to be the honor system and not look at the screen, but it's hard to not look at your opponent's screen when it's a single screen divided into four. And my sons just thought it was hilarious that they would take me out, whether it was the World War II game or any other game. And my problem was there's so many buttons on modern controllers that by the time I get competent to work it, I'd be dead. Killing Dad before he could do anything with his character was a lot of fun. I got my revenge because at some point they had this joystick with a single button, basically like the old Atari controllers, but it was had an emulator for a bunch of old video games, and you just plugged the thing into the TV and you used the joystick and the button to operate the games, and they're all single-player games, so we had to play for high score, and they'd struggle to get very far because they weren't used to that, and I'd be racking up like 20,000 points, and they couldn't understand how I just annihilated them, and I would just say, well, I paid a lot of hard-earned quarters into video games in my day. I paid for that skill. Also, I'm not that good, just good enough to beat you. I don't think they appreciated my honesty when I told them that I really wasn't that good, because I know people that would annihilate me. I never was the best. The only time I had the high score was on either a new machine or if it was a place that reset the high score every once in a while. And then before I found Roll20 and the ability to enjoy role-playing games online, I started playing Lord of the Rings Online. And I went with that because it was free and everybody else seemed to be doing WoW, and WoW didn't appeal to me for some reason. And I was looking for something to give me a feeling of playing RPGs, and I liked it because I could play solo, or if others online wanted to do something, we could do that. However, I have to stay away from video games because I lose track of time. I'd be playing along and I say, oh crap, it's 1 a.m, I better finish up. And the next thing I know, oh crap, it's 3 a.m. And then I do the same thing, oh, it's 5 a.m, I gotta get up and go to work. You know, I can't do that anymore because I just lose track of the time. And so that's why I stick to role-playing games. I like role-playing games because they don't have this problem of replayability. With video games, the consoles and the games themselves are very expensive. And after a while, they're not so fun to play. Lord of the Rings Online, I maxed out the crafting ability and it wasn't a challenge because I could make whatever I wanted pretty much within the purview of the game. And then they had an expansion that added higher tiers beyond that. Well, the keep going and doing the same thing over and over to get better at crafting, that wasn't fun anymore. And the running around killing things to get to the next objective, well, by the time you're 80 some level, it's not fun just run around killing stuff. I mean, some of the things you can do are pretty fun and whatnot, but it just lost its appeal. And with role-playing games, except for modules, you don't have the role-playability problem. Now, a module is the closest thing to a closed-loop system, but unless you're playing a one-shot or a convention game, you can just make it a part of your campaign and it fits right in. With board games and card games, the ones that are most successful are the ones that are really fun to play over and over. Of course, there's an element of skill and rules mastery in card games and board games. And with role-playing games, you may have rules mastery and you may be a good player, but you still have that roll of the die that makes it go differently. And you can't count on your fellow players to do what you think would be the best course of action, or you can't always convince them to go approach a situation the way you want it approached. So you never know what can happen in a role-playing game, whereas with video games and board games and card games, there's only so many ways it can play out. But with a role-playing game, especially if it's one that's an open world sandbox sort of concept where you can go basically wherever you want and do whatever you want, it's as close to real world as you can get. The only limit is your imagination and the buy-in of the game master and the other players to do whatever it is you set out to do. So I like video games, but I have to admit, I have a problem. I know lots of other gamers seem to balance their video game life with real life a lot better than I am able to do. Some would say I probably don't balance my life very well with role-playing games, but I don't play all the time. I do spend a lot of time writing up scenarios and talking about them on this podcast and talking to other people online about it. But it's because it's fun and interesting. It stimulates my brain. I have friendships and interactions. Without the online world, I wouldn't have some of the friends I have. And lots of them I've never met face-to-face, but all the same, I still consider them friends. And if we ever met face-to-face, I'm sure we'd get along just as well as we seem to long distance. So that's a bit of my experience with video games. What are your experiences with video games? Do you like them? Do you hate them? Do you have the problem where you have to really work hard to find a limit for those so you don't lose track of time? Please call in and let me know. Thanks for listening, and game on.